وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And when I said that, I did say it would take a lot of my time. And I was actually appointed to talk first. So you see, he had another appointment, and he actually took my topic. So, that's why I say he told me now, that's why I came to talk first. Just in case you were going to speak, but I was going to speak first. So, inshallah, we have, like I said, when I eat on the one side, and after me, inshallah, we're having another giant when I hear. So, I'm basically the interviewer. And inshallah, to try and keep you with the way. And my topic, like you were speaking of peer pressure, I thought I was supposed to speak on that topic because what I done is in this week, I had my adult class, and I said, what should I speak about? I don't know what to tell the youth. So they gave me a few suggestions, and this was one of them. So peer pressure, what is it? Peer pressure is basically people of your age, your friends, your classmates, people around you, they're all your peers. So when they start influencing you, either in a negative or positive way, that is called peer pressure. So most of the time, peer pressure, we look at it when they are influencing us to do something bad. So this becomes a big stumbling block for many youth. A lot of us, we lack confidence. We don't have this confidence. So because we don't have this confidence, and we have friends around us who are, they are the cool ones, and they're doing all the good things. So when they tell us later, why don't you try this, why don't you do that? Automatically, because you want to fit in with them and seem cool as well, we start trying to do what they are doing. And I have witnessed this throughout my life. I've seen many things. I was a person, many people say, I never lacked confidence. And maybe that's one of the reasons I never fell into the trap. And the hardest thing for a person to say when somebody tells you, you know, that, okay, here's a group of people, and I'm like a small one here, I put a lot in. You know, I don't talk much. You should do this, you know, come on, you're cool, let's do it. It is so hard to say no at that time. And this is what we are facing now. Most of the youth, this is what they face. And another topic that they said I should speak, inshallah, on is about the bullying as well, which has become so big now all over the world. Not only locally, I mean, entire world. It is like a big thing that has taken off as well. It's always been there, but it's reached now other proportions we have now because of WhatsApp and that. You get what they call now cyberbullying as well. So, what I was trying to say is like I'm basically, my opinion is nasihat from my side, and from what I've experienced in my life, that's what I'm hoping to argue with here. So, when I was younger as well, I had many friends, and you know, they also became easy influence because they never had the confidence, they weren't, you know, that type where they could do what they wanted to do, so they would always be the one at the back. And the cool guys were always in front. So when they would tell them, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, they would always jump to do it. And I was thinking, I was sitting here, one of the funny things is that one of my friends, they were at the time, you know, there was many gangsters and that. So they told me, why don't you join the gang? This guy, Allah, is like such a bichara, where can he go and join the gang? So he's thinking, okay, now what, all my other friends, they are going in this line, I might as well become a gangster as well. So you go out, you're going to have your tattoo made, whatever, he became a gangster. So now he became like a gangster, and automatically his nature was such, I knew him, so I said, this is not you, this is not the type of person you are. But he started wanting to be like that. And how you notice it is now when you become a gangster, you've got to start acting like a gangster, you've got to start speaking like a gangster, you've got to start walking like a gangster. But you must remember, in the same time, you're going to be getting real gangsters as well. So one of the times what was so funny is that he, you know, I start walking like a gangster. I'm going to do a bit of a walk here of how they normally do it. And at that time, you know, one of the bigger gangsters came around the corner. So that time, it's like very intimate. Even if you're a gangster, you can't be seen that you're also a guy, even another bigger guy is there. So, well, this is just going to show you a bit of an example of how you came down the guy who was like this. So, first thing is, you know what we call a roll. So then, automatically, you know, pretty much open now, but the cap will obviously be a bit now. And so he's walking on the road, so he has to have a new walk now. So
He's dropping his egg, and that's his walk. And he's walking, he's thinking, nah, it's so cool. And then here in front of him now, three old gangsters are popping up, and he's like, and then automatic. You know? So that is not who you are. And that is what's happening here, is we all trying to fit in, trying to be who we not are. And we first must remember that, you know, that I, that we, it's so often necessary, we are created for one purpose. And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in hadith that around dunya, it will seem like this earth is a jail for us. When in reality, it's not. And how much, you know, like, what is happening now, there's a lot, especially in my area there where we come from, is, you know, you get a lot of prostitution is rife. There's a lot of things, you know, like drugs and that as well. So what we do is we tend to now, when we're driving down the road and we've seen, okay, now you know, they stand in the road, what we call them stroy mates, the bridesmaids. So they stand in the road, and we would actually, we'd have bad thoughts of them, we think, what are they doing here, you know. We'd see them, if they're standing in the bottom of our road, get away here, we do that. So one friend of mine, he actually told me, well, no, that is very wrong. He says, what we've got to do, have we ever thought of making dua for those people? Have we ever thought of making dua for that people? And they must trust me, we never. Most of the times in our mind, is we make having the negative thoughts of this person here, get away, look at her. And majority of the time, it's Muslim girls in that standing there. So he says what he does for it, he always makes a dua. And it's become a habit of mine. When I see a person in a state that is, you know, where they're doing wrong, and I always make dua for that person. I never judge that person. And this friend of mine, Allah, is such an ajeeb guy, Allah, that wherever he goes, no matter who he talks to, if he sees somebody that is doing wrong, he'll make a point of, he says, you know, even if they, like he mentioned to me now the other night, he says they were out, they were doing some gush, so they came to those big gangsters in the area there. So he says he came to them, and now, so he says, you know what, he just wants to hear the word Allah on this man's tongue. And he says, this man can't say the word, he's a Muslim, but he's not a loving Muslim, and it's so difficult for this word Allah to come out. And he's speaking to me, and repeating, Sayyidah, and finally after a while, you know, it starts coming out. And he says, this is a gangster who is feared by many, and you know, they've got this hard look on their face, you know, they've got this other look. And he says, the moment he starts taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a smile starts coming on this man's face. And he says, that should be how we are, wherever we are. Whether we see the person doing wrong, whatever, you know, sometimes they are so down, they have nobody to turn to. And we just come there, all you need to do is, look here, we're not qualified, people don't want to hear, you're doing wrong, you're doing this, you're doing that. They, you just tell them, recite for me the kalima. La ilaha illallah. Allah Ta'ala is the one who guides. Not us. Through the barakah of us reading that kalima, inshallah, that person might change his life again. And then you look at it also, how in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu who committed zina, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi, ya Nabi, I committed the sin. What was our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response? Did he say, tell him, what? How can you do that? No, are you sure? Then also after that, you have a mother. That was the last thing. And that is how, firstly as adults, is how we should deal with, I mean, these are the adults of India. Well, with the youth, the people that have problems that come to us. If you as a youth, look here, sometimes it's difficult for you, you've done something wrong, right? And sometimes we do something wrong and it actually sits in our heart. So what do? We need somebody to talk to. So if you're not able to talk to your parents, you want them to have the best thoughts on you. So what you do is, you go to your ustad, go to the imam of the masjid, you speak to them. You know, it will take that, you know, that thing off your heart, it will lighten the burden for you as well. That is what we should try to never keep when we're doing wrong. Just try and go and speak to somebody else about it as well. And one thing that is very important for us, and this I found in my life, like I said, I'll try and speak from my experiences, because I feel what people learn more from. You know, when somebody has been through these things, is that when I was younger, it might have been naughty, but I was never rude. You know, no matter what my parents, my grandparents, my ustad, whatever, I was never rude. So I would never go to the point of, you know, sometimes we nowadays, you know, our uncle or other things, and we start swearing them. Who are you to tell me? Never do that. You know, because at the time I look at my life back and I think, Allah, you know, where could I have been and where am I? So it's always, it becomes, for me, it's been that either my parents to ask or my grandparents to ask. That Allah Ta'ala has not changed me from being, you know, what I could have been to what I am. So that is one thing that we must learn. And how much of us actually go, you know, and actually go to your mother or to your father or your grandparents and say, you know, I love you. We don't. By just doing that, that opens a door for a dua for you. You know, one of the masjids that I'm about to take exams in Cape Town, and we go to this area. So the teacher, she's also such with her students that she greets each and every one personally. Normally we come to our staff, we sit in our class, which are also madrasa students here, and that in whether in maktab or school or so, even at home, so we'll come in, assalamu alaikum, finish. You know, when we leave, those are these who greet, we do that. Each and every student of hers, when they left, they stood up and went to her. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Each child came up to her, small, they were small kids, and they gave her. And one actually went to the degree of translating assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's the one that struck me the most. You know, it's such a great dua that she made. And how much of us don't implement this? We just, you know, our parents, we go, finish, that's it. Greet them, and when they reply, it's a dua. It's not just there for that. And we know now with the social media, and that everything we try and emulate those people who are on social media. So, for instance, we had now not so long ago a girl in Cape Town, she, what they were called cyberbullying, she threatened another girl via a Instagram page or Facebook or something, and she threatened, like, you know, in Afrikaans, she was like saying she's gonna kill this girl and she's gonna do this and prepare my grandmother this and my uncle's lawyer, so I'm not worried, whatever, but you're going to die, type of thing. And this little girl, actually, what happens is, it actually becomes a thing where people become attracted to this stuff. Everybody wants to now see what was the thing about. So then another video comes out of it. Same thing in America. There's this girl thing, the big thing now where she, it was a thing where she was disobedient to mother. I mean, she actually fought with the mother. And then it became a big thing. She's now like a big celebrity in America. The what, the cash me outside or something. She became like a big celebrity now. And what? How are they going to be saying that? And we now try to emulate that. And what is so sad as well is that we see many times our Muslim boys and Muslim girls, they start copying all these things that other people are doing. So they basically in America they started with the blogs. South Africa, same thing's happening. Our Muslim young men are doing, they've got their blogs and that. Our Muslim girls, they've got their blogs and that. And because now they try to imitate them, they become like them. They dress like them, they act like them, you know. Before, you know, many years ago, it was a thing, people were naughty, so they whoever done drugs, they would do it quietly. Whoever drank wine, they would do it quietly. But nowadays, it's become such that even our Muslim sisters and brothers are drinking openly. And why is that? We don't realize the harm of this, you know, like I said, we become so desensitized because on TV we've seen it. On not on TV, but on social media, we see one of them, that was drinking, so it must be cool, this one's doing that, must be cool, this one's vaping there, everybody wants to do it. And this peer pressure is, you know, something that you're basically going to sit with for the rest of your life. You're always going to have people around you, unless you are very comfortable, you're always going to have people around you. So one thing is like, you know, this old man, so the doctor asked him, you know, he was 111 years old. So he asked him, what's the best thing about being 111 years old? So his reply was that now I don't have any peer pressure. Because now nobody is raised. Nobody puts any pressure on him. So as long as you're going to live, you're going to have this problem here. And choose your friends very wisely. Whether you're in Madrid, Madrasa, whether you ever choose your friends wisely, it doesn't mean we're in Madrasa. Inshallah, we have to see that everybody is good in Madrasa, but the truth of it, we know what the truth is. I've seen personally here in this madrasa here when I was studying there. There was a young boy, and when he came, he was in shed. He was, when he used to stand in salah, he used to be the first day in his salah, he only cried. Only cried. And I used to wonder, such a young boy, how to do this. And then because now, after a while, he's changing,
then he actually gave madrasa.
So, what was it? It actually became the company around him, you know. So you come here with good intentions, choose those that you think are the best here. Stay close to them. Whether you're in the Alim course, in the Hid course, whether you're in school, wherever you are, choose those people around you who you think will be best for you. For dunya and for akhirah. And unfortunately, we sometimes lack in choosing our friends. So, you know, sometimes if our parents are telling us, you know, I don't think that's a good way to hang around, you know, then listen to them. Because they, you know, there's always say, your parents know best. They do know best. They do know. We do being, you know, stubborn and no, I know better, you older, I know what is better now. So always try and listen to your parents as well. You'll start to give advice. And how fortunate are we that we get to sit here? How would other people are not able to be in the masjid like this now, we're talking like this here? With the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon us. And inshallah that something, some one of the souls that something is going to penetrate inshallah your heart as well. And then, what was something else to say now? But, you know, the effort has to come from your side. You must learn that we don't need to be somebody else. We have to be the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. And that only way of being that is by following the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are we supposed to keep the opinion on it? Inshallah, another 5 minutes, see if we can end the day and then we can just talk, inshallah. Because we're supposed to have a Q&A. And then, you know, we look at another thing, so this is what I was remembering now. I said, if we're not able to partake in majlis like this, okay, we can't worship, we're lazy, we've got other things to do, weekends come. Try and connect yourself to the Quran. You know, if you're not somebody like Alhamdulillah, most of you part of the madrasa, but if you're not and you're on the outside, if some kuwa or somebody is coming to your area, make a point of going to something. Wallahi, I've seen this with my own eyes. You know, we tend to judge people, we look a lot on the outside, you know, on the appearance of person, whether he has a beard, a kurta, and that. And wallahi, I can tell you sometimes that person can be the worst person. You know, I've met people now that you would never think, you know, that what goodness they have in their heart, what muttaqi people they are. Fortunately, I mentioned this because we had the Qari Mahmoud Shahad, there's a person, whatever, he comes, he's from Egypt, so he doesn't have a beard and that. And I'll come and say, why are you going to go listen to him? Why are you going to that? Sometimes I was fortunate to spend a few days with him, from the morning till the evening with him. And every time, wherever we were, whether we were walking and we were not talking, automatically Quran came out of his mouth. He would go and sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and not sitting and talking, he would be reciting Quran. So wherever he went, and this became so inspiration for some of the youth, you know, you sit there and you see this Quran, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to have an effect on you. So that is one of the things that we should try. If we can't sit in programs like this, you go and sit there. And then on the other side, you get peer pressure, then you're getting peer pressure. Peer pressure is something we should go for now. Peer is like a share. Ustad, somebody that we can confide in. That's the person they're telling us to do something, let us try and follow that thing. Always look for those people who are going to give us, be a positive in our life, not a negative, not going to be taking us 100 steps back every time. And unfortunately in life is going to be such that you're going to go forward and you're going to be, you know, you're going to stumble a bit. And that is life. Nobody's ma'asool, nobody, we're not behind that, we're not innocent, we're humans, we're going to sin, we're going to fall. But we get up immediately and like my Isa said, temper. Immediately when we sin, make istighfar. And you'll see the light in that. Sin just make restlessness in your heart. Whether you're in madrasa, wherever you are, your heart will be restless. And you will always be restless like that. So, and another thing, one more thing to mention is I met a brother from Albania. So this brother is an alim or anything. So he's been doing work in Kosovo. He used to work with like the madrasa, and that he used to open up madrasa, like help the youngsters and that. So he used to spend basically 3 months, 3 weeks of his month, across the away from his family. He says, oh, you know what? I never used to see my family. He says, but you know what? The joy of seeing, you know, making a difference in those children's lives was so great. And we all can do that. We all, alhamdulillah, some of us are becoming ulama, some of us are becoming ustaz, some of us are becoming inshallah, whether you're a layman, this is a layman. You're not a khanim as well. But he's always going out there like a friend of mine to try and make a difference. Try and create the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto the people's hearts. So that it's able to come out. So we remember who created us, Allah, Allah. And inshallah, through the means of that, that becomes, you know, our salvation, inshallah. Inshallah. So that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, whatever is doing is wrong, it's from shaitan in my mind. That is the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is to it. To make, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the feet, inshallah, to make amal on it. Inshallah, now we're going to end here. To also, a roommate of mine.